My voice is on.
Yep.
The machine on.
Yep.
You see the verses?
Yes. Yes, there.
Patrick Henry. I smell a dead rat in this house. Patrick Henry. Give me liberty or give me death. Proverbs 17:20. He who has a crooked mind finds no good, and he who is perverted in his language falls into evil. Proverbs 17:20. He who has a crooked mind finds no good, and he who is perverted in his language falls into evil. Proverbs 17:20. Proverbs 28:13. He who is conceals his transgressions will not prosper, but he who confesses and forsakes them will find compassion. Proverbs 28:13. He who conceals his transgressions will not prosper, but he who confesses and forsakes them will find compassion. Proverbs 28:13. Would you open your Bibles this morning, please, to Ephesians chapter 4, verse 31. We'll quote it now. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. Ephesians 4, 31. Let all bitterness and wrath, anger and clamor be put away from you, along with all malice. Ephesians 4, 31. We'll come back to that verse in a moment. Would you turn in your Bibles now to Ephesians chapter 4, verses 30 and 31. Our purpose of being here today is to open our hearts and minds to the wonderful Word of God. God has given us many magnificent and marvelous privileges, none greater than what we're doing now, as we open our minds and our hearts to these wonderful verses. In a few moments, we're going to begin our reading with Ephesians 4 and 22, if you'll open your Bibles to that particular passage. We spend a moment in prayer before we begin our reading. Father, we're thankful that we realize who's in charge. You've given us the assurance in your word that you would never leave us, never forsake us. And we're here again today as an expression of that particular wonderful promise. We're here because of your grace. We're saved because of your grace. We're heaven bound because of your grace. We thank you. We thank you for the opportunity now to open our minds to your word. We pray that you will bless us in these moments of study. In Jesus' name, amen. Ephesians chapter 4, 22. That you put off concerning the former conversation, the old man, which is corrupt according to deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and holiness, true holiness. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Verse 26, be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Neither give place to the devil. Let him that steals let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor with his hands the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. Verse 30, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, which you are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Many years ago, we learned that the Bible presents information known as anthropomorphisms and anthropopathisms. That simply means that there are things that we learn from the Bible that are divine thoughts, but are put into human terminology. Things we can learn because there are divine thoughts put in language in which you and I can understand. I thought about that in relationship to the fact that Matthew, Patrick, Patrick Henry, the first governor of the state of Virginia, was an unusual fellow. Not a lot of training at the beginning, became a lawyer, was a speaker. He was the one who said just what I said a few moments ago, give me liberty or give me death. He was disturbed by some things that were taking place, and one day he made the statement that he's known for now when he said, I smell a dead rat. I was thinking about that in preparation for this message today, smelling a dead rat. When I gave attention to the subject which you see on the screen, what to do with soul garbage. I don't know about you, but I'm not over that excited about garbage. My responsibility is to carry out the garbage. I've tried to do that over the years. There are things that bother me about garbage. Especially if you've ever had the experience, and I don't know whether you have or not, and that is setting up some bait for mice or rats, and then discovering later that they were designed to eat that poison and go out, drink water, and die outside. But they didn't do it. They ate the poison, drank the water, and died inside. I'm not saying you've had that experience, and I'm not suggesting that I have. I'm just trying to tell you what it would be like if you ever had that experience. The stench of a dead rat. I can kind of have a little idea what Patrick Henry had in mind when he said, listening to conversations of political leaders, "I smell a dead rat." Now, I don't know about you, but probably you don't prepare sermons like I do. Sometimes I'm preparing sermons. I have them all ready. I go to bed at night, go to sleep, wake up early in the morning, and before Joyce and I ever get up, I'm rehearsing in my mind my sermon. I was doing that again this morning, early this morning. This time change, you know, that had some effect on us. And I was not smelling a dead rat, but I was thinking about this dead rat as I prepared my review of my message today. And I got to thinking about this. I got to thinking about the fact that what a metamorphism is and what a metapathism is. Taking divine thoughts and putting them into human terminology. And I began to think about what the reverse of that would be. Now, I know this is impossible. I want you to realize what I'm doing is an impossibility, and that is taking a human thought and transferring it into heaven and into what might possibly be what the Heavenly Father's thoughts might be about that same thing. Now, I'm letting you have a little time to think with me about this. And I got to thinking about what our Heavenly Father would think about the stench of the garbage of the souls of believers who are sitting listening to my voice today. What to do with soul garbage. Now, if you've listened so far to my message, you've been able to see that we've talked about divine thoughts put into human terminology so that you and I could identify and understand. But then I began to reverse that. And this is what I was doing in the wee hours of early morning, thinking about what God's thoughts could possibly be in relationship to the soul garbage of the people who would be hearing my voice today, not only in this auditorium, but elsewhere. Soul garbage. When I look at Ephesians 4:27, I presented to you a few sessions back that God has victory for us in times of conflict. Just hold that thought for a moment. When I looked at this verse, 27, I noticed that the scripture there says, neither give place to the devil. A challenge to born-again believers so that we can have victory in this life. Looking at that passage, I also noticed that it says, in essence, and do not give the devil a foothold. Because giving the devil a foothold brings about, in the believer, soul garbage. When I glance back at the verses that we've been studying in Ephesians, I saw in verse 25 that there was an emphasis there on recovery of divine vertical viewpoint. I saw there an emphasis upon the recovery of a divine vertical perspective. What I'm trying to let you see, that in 1775, this lawyer, the first governor of Virginia, who was classified as a great speaker because they said that he spoke as a minister with influence and with speed. And he was the one who said, as I said a few moments ago, give me liberty or give me death. He was the one who was bothered by the thoughts and the thought patterns of individuals who were not, he felt, in keeping with what should be done. When he shouted out one day, I smell a dead rat. You and I must realize that there has to be some type of thinking in God's, our Heavenly Father's mind in relationship to your and my disobedience. When we are not what we should be, when we have soul garbage collecting. In that verse 25, it says, there must be the recovery of divine vertical viewpoint. When I looked at verse 26, I saw an emphasis upon objective indignation. Be ye angry and sin not. These things I'm trying to discover in my own mind. Oh, I'm analyzing it. I've thought about this theologically over the years, seeing how God takes magnificent truths and brings it down, and we're able to see it in human terminology. We're able to comprehend and understand. What I'm doing now, though, is reversing that, and I'm trying to draw some conclusions about how God must think about our disobedience, our soul garbage. He wants us to have victory in conflict. He wants us to have production of divine good in every area of life and to the business people in the area of the business world. When I looked at verse 29, it emphasized the importance of having the ability to control the tongue. Because there it says, every word that's corrupt that comes out of your mouth, let that not proceed. Every word corrupt out of the mouth of you, let not proceed. But what is good. And when I looked at that word good, here's what I saw. I saw the Greek word agathos. Do any of you know what that word is? Sure. You've heard it for 45 years or more. It means God's good. Intrinsic good. It's the way God sees things. Let what comes out of our mouth be divine good. Intrinsic good. To the edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. Are you folks following me? Are you able to see what we're seeing here? I'm looking at this thing. It's about 4 o'clock in the morning now, this morning, and I'm reviewing this message. I'm letting these things roll through my mind. And I'm transferring to the best of my ability how it just might be, how our Heavenly Father might think about your garbage and mine, soul garbage. Ephesians 4:30 says, grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby we're sealed unto the day of redemption. I want to come back later, deal with that passage, Ephesians 4:30. When I looked at Ephesians 4:31, here's what I read. All classifications, and then I began to see it. Soul garbage. These are classifications of soul garbage. They're listed here in Ephesians 4:31. All classifications of bitterness. And I looked at that word in the Greek. It is T-I-K-R-I-A. Bitterness. Is it possible for believers, born again believers, to have bitterness of soul? Are we seeing in our nation bitterness? Then I looked again and I saw the next word. O-R-G-E. Orge. Which is the word for anger. Are we seeing anything like that in our land today? Anger? Then I looked at this verse again, Ephesians 4:31, and I found the word blasphemia, which we would translate blaspheme. And literally it means to murder with the mouth. It means mouth character assassination. It means that which takes place in the mind. Mental character assassination. There's that Greek word, blasphemia, translated evil speaking. I looked at Ephesians 4:31 again, and I saw some more garbage. It is the word K-R-A-U-G-E. And it's translated, this is interesting, it's translated clamor. But what the word actually literally means is shouting. Have we seen or heard any shouting in recent days? It means verbal brawling, offensive loudness, quarreling. We're talking about what the scripture is saying about soul garbage. I have no idea, folks. There's no way that I could interpret this. Because I have not the ability to give you, literally, it can only be from my mind, figuratively, my thinking about how God must think about these things. I'm reversing that expression, divine thinking in human terminology. Now human thinking in divine ability to comprehend. Ephesians 4:31. What are we going to do with this garbage? It goes on to say now, let it be removed. Let the soul garbage be removed. But how? I believe everyone in this auditorium, and I believe all believers listening to my voice, really want to know what the Bible is saying here. It says, aorist, passive, imperative verb. Okay, let's pause for a moment. Do a little Greek study. Aorist tense means at a point of time. That's right now for us. Passive voice means we're the recipients of the action. We don't produce the action, we're the recipients of the action. Let it be removed. In other words, let God do something. There's a dead snake. There's something wrong. There's a dead rat. There's something wrong. There's stench. Something's wrong. The garbage has been collected in our lives. Something's wrong. It has to be removed. We have to be the recipient of that being removed. That's the passive voice. Now look at it. And I see that it's an imperative verb. Most of you know by now what an imperative verb is. It means a command. Let it be removed. The Greek word is areto. And I studied this, and here it is. It means that these are the things that grieve our Lord. These disobediences, these sins grieve the Holy Spirit. These accumulations of soul garbage have to be removed. A-R-E-T-O. Alpha, Rho, Eta, Tau, Omega. These are things that need to be removed. These are sins, garbage, soul garbage that grieves the Holy Spirit. They should not only be grieving God, but should be grieving us. Put this down before you leave today. This verse is saying, let it be hauled off. Let it be removed. Let it be taken away. I'm going to come back to this page in a few moments, but I want you to see. When I analyze this, here's what I put down. 5 points. What to do with soul garbage. Number one, remove. I couldn't think of anything else, so I just put it in different words. Haul off. 3, pick up, carry away. 4, destroy. 5, gone. For good. Sometimes you just have to repeat yourself, don't you? What to do with soul garbage? Allow it to be removed. Allow it to be removed. Remove. Allow it to be removed. Put forth some effort. Haul off. What's so beautiful about this is it means pick it up, get rid of it. What I'm seeing is that if it happened at our house and I found this decaying, deteriorating, destroying, stinking rat, I'd do something with it. I vomit a few times as I'm picking it up, regurgitate, puke. I mean, there are other words I could use. But anyway, put it in a bag and let the trash man be able to smell. Isn't that mean? But anyway, remove, haul off, pick up, carry away, destroy. Look at that number 5. Gone for good. Now, before we leave, I want you to see something. When I looked at this, I found in the original language, it says, let it be removed. Passive voice. Imperative mood, a command. And then I read on. let it be hauled off along with all. And then I found this word. And you folks are going to see it, and most of you, because you've been here a long time, you know the Greek word. Kakia. From the word kakos. K-A-K-O-S. That last two letters of that word. Nominative. Which emphasizes the subject of the sentence, the nominative case. But here it is, kakia. Let it be hauled off with all evil. Let it be hauled off. And if you can read it from where you're sitting, let it be hauled off with all satanic thinking. This verse 32 admonishes the believer to keep on becoming tender-hearted, forgiving, and being the recipient of having soul garbage carried away. I don't know when I started or when I'm through, but I think it's time for it to stop. What a challenge. A believer can do this, have the soul garbage hauled away. If you're not a believer, that's what you need to have. You need to have Christ. And the Bible says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved. Salvation is a gift from God. Beautiful. I would encourage those who listen by way of the internet, if you've never accepted Jesus Christ as Savior, please do it now. God loves you. Christ died for you. He will save you if you'll trust Him. And that's what the Bible says. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Father, thank You for this time together. Help us as we leave this place today to go rejoicing in the fact that we can know without doubt that soul garbage has been removed. We pray and thank You for Your blessings in Jesus' name. Amen.